Chapter 7. Watch out, comrades. Sergio Motsweneng, a 21-year-old long-distance champion from Putu-Dichaba, a poverty-stricken area in the former homeland of Kwakwa, took his place on the Comrades Marathon starting line in Pietermaritzburg on 16th June 1999. His race number, 13018, was pinned to his vest. He was wearing a black cap, a pair of blue and yellow Nikes, and a pink watch on his right wrist. Remember the pink watch. The runners sang Nkosi Sikelele iAfrika and Shosholoza. Then the Chariots of Fire theme was blasted over the loudspeakers. It's a rousing tune that has come to represent human endurance and determination. And Sergio had bucket loads of determination. It was his first Comrades, but he had won many long-distance races in Putu-Dichaba, and with a competitive marathon time of 2 hours 19 minutes under his belt, he wanted to see if he could win the world's oldest and most famous ultramarathon, and not only win it, but break the Comrades' record too. If the lanky runner crossed the line first, he would win 100,000 rand. His running club, Rentmeester Reparelgel, had promised another 1 million rand for breaking the record. Sergio lived with his 10 brothers and sisters in a two-bedroom house, and the family had financial difficulties. With his winnings, he would be able to buy them out of debt. At 6 a.m., a cock crowed twice, not an actual cock, a recorded cock, and the Pietermaritzburg mayor fired the gun, signaling the start of the 74th edition of the Comrades Marathon, and sending Sergio and 16,806 other extreme athletes on an 89.9-kilometer race to Durban. The fastest would get there in 5.5 hours, give or take a minute or two. Most, though, would run, jog, walk, hobble, and crawl to the finish in the final 60 minutes before the 11-hour cutoff. Sergio didn't break the Comrades' record, and he didn't win the race. He finished 9th in 5 hours 40 minutes, almost 10 minutes behind the winner, Poland's Jarosław Janicki. Nevertheless, it was a remarkable achievement for a young athlete. Running pundits agreed he had a long and bright career ahead of him. For finishing in the top 10, Sergio received a coveted gold medal made with actual gold and 6,000 rand. Not the 1.1 million rand windfall he'd wanted, but 6,000 rand went a long way in 1999. In an interview after the race, he said he would give his gold medal and prize money to his father. But Nick Bester, an ultramarathon veteran who had won the race 3 years earlier, smelt a rat. Sergio had beaten Nick, who came 15th, by 8 minutes. The timing match showed Sergio was 7 minutes behind Nick at the halfway mark, but Nick couldn't remember Sergio passing him in the second half of the race. He lodged a complaint with the Comrades Marathon Association. Race officials examined data from the computer timing system but couldn't see anything out of the ordinary, and Sergio was cleared of cheating. The young athlete returned to a hero's welcome in Putu-Dichaba, and all was well until photos were published in Beeld newspaper a few weeks later. Now is the time to remember the pink watch. One photo snapped in the first half of the race showed runner 13018 with a pink watch on his right wrist, while another from later in the race showed the same runner with a yellow watch on his left wrist. This was Nick's gotcha moment. The point in the whodunit where the sleuth works out how the murder was committed. A closer look at the photos also revealed that Sergio had grown a scar on his left shin during the race. You see, it wasn't the same runner. The man in the first photo was Sergio's brother, Arnold. Sergio is 2 years older than Arnold, but the brothers have an uncanny resemblance and had often been mistaken for each other. Confronted with the mounting evidence, the brothers confessed to working out a complicated bait-and-switch operation. It's still not clear how many times they traded places. One report claimed they switched once at the halfway mark, but another said they ran a relay and swapped places several times. The exchange, or exchanges, took place in a mobile loo, or mobile loos, where the brothers hurriedly swapped their clothes, caps, shoes with timing chip attached to the lace, everything except their watches. Sergio then ran to the finish. Caught out, Sergio handed back his prize money and medal, and the brothers were banned from the sport for 5 years. "If it wasn't for the fact that he made a mistake with the watches, he probably would have got away with it," said Cheryl Wynne from the Comrades Marathon Association. That's really scary. Sergio's lawyer, Clem Harrington, described it as a tragic story. Hopefully Sergio will not be lost to the sport because he is a highly talented runner. If he harnessed the energy he put into cheating into rather running the race properly, who knows, he might finish in the top five, he said. After serving his ban, Sergio returned to the Comrades and had a string of impressive runs until he proved Harrington right in 2010 and came third, winning another gold medal and 90,000 rand. It just goes to show he did not have to do what he did in 1999, said Wynn. He has great ability. Unfortunately, his triumph was short-lived. 6 weeks later, Sergio was found to have cheated once again, this time testing positive for the performance-enhancing steroid nandrolone. He received a 2-year ban and had to forfeit his prize money and his gold medal for a second time. But despite the twin controversies, Sergio wasn't done with the grueling marathon. In 2019, on the 20th anniversary of the ill-fated bait-and-switch Comrades, Sergio, now 40, lined up in Durban. He sang Kosi Sikelele Africa and Shosholoza, listened to the Chariots of Fire theme and the Double Cockcrow, and made his way to Pietermaritzburg in 7 hours, 21 minutes. Cheat sheet. Hansie Cronier, see chapter 25, remains South Africa's most infamous sporting cheat, but the country has produced several others. Age rage. When journalist Thomas Kwenaite covered an under-15 age group tournament in France in 1998, he discovered and reported that the captain of South Africa's winning side was an engineering student in his early 20s. The player's father took Kwenaite to the press ombud for slander, but withdrew his complaint when Kwenaite produced records to show that if the player was under 15, he would have been 2 years old in grade one. Goal-oriented. Matiasi FC and Shivulani Dangerous Tigers were battling it out at the top of the ABC Motsepe League, the third tier of South African football, in 2022. Shivulani led by 3 points and had a positive goal difference of 16 going into the last round of fixtures. To win the league, Matiasi FC had to beat third place in Sami Mighty Birds by a whopping margin, and they did, by 59-1. 41 of the goals were own goals. An investigation found Matiasi had fixed their game with Sami Mighty Birds. The SA Football Association banned the cheating clubs for life. Peddling lies. Ronel Liss caused a kerfuffle at the 2002 edition of the Cape Argus Pick and Pay Cycle Tour, now the Cape Town Cycle Tour, when she told officials she was the true winner of the women's race. Moments after Henriette Schumann lifted the trophy, Liss, who had no track record as a competitive cyclist, insisted she had crossed the line 15 seconds before Schumann. And if anyone didn't believe her, her husband Jacho could verify it. The ceremony was stopped and Henriette's celebration was put on ice while officials investigated. They decided to examine Jacho's results as well. He had won the men's A category, the top amateur group, by an unheard of 18-minute margin. Turns out the Lisses had taken shortcuts and both were disqualified. A vicious cycle. Kevin Evans and David George were mountain biking rock stars. They appeared on magazine covers, had groupies, and were the heroes in An Epic Tale, a documentary about their crusade to be the first South African team to win the Cape Epic. But the dream came to a shuddering halt in 2012 when George tested positive for doping. In what may be a cycling first, he didn't try to shift the blame. My ex-wife sabotaged me, I ate contaminated meat, and having sex before the test caused a testosterone spike, are all actual excuses given. George admitted guilt and was banned from the sport for 2 years. In 2016, the South African Institute for Drug-Free Sport found irregularities in Evans' biological passport and banned him for 3 years. Digital doper. Esports have become hugely popular, with technology allowing cyclists to race riders from all over the world while sitting on a stationary bike in the comfort of their homes. This is what East London virtual cyclist Eddie Hoole did in December 2022 when he competed in a UCI Cycling Esports World Championships qualifying race. Fans watched in disbelief as Hoole's avatar broke away from the peloton and flew up a hill to win. When officials crunched his data, they found Hull had generated significantly more power than Olympic champions. It was soon discovered that the software developer had hacked the data. Cycling South Africa found him guilty of cheating and suspended him from all cycling disciplines for 6 months. Just for kicks. Swimming champion Cameron van der Berg admitted he cheated in winning the 100-meter breaststroke at the 2016 Olympic Games. His performance enhancer? Illegal dolphin kicks. A dolphin kick is a whip-like motion generated from the hips that gives swimmers an advantage. In breaststroke, swimmers are allowed to take one dolphin kick at the start and one after each turn before starting their breaststroke kick. Van der Berg took three. "If you're not doing it, you're falling behind and giving yourself a disadvantage," he said. That's dope. Rugby winner Apiwe Dianti had a dream start as a Springbok in 2018. The Eastern Cape kid, who broke enormous barriers to become a Bok, made his test debut against England, played in 13 straight tests, and scored 6 tries in a whirlwind year that made him World Rugby's International Newcomer of the Year. But a few months before the 2019 Rugby World Cup in Japan, 24-year-old Dianti tested positive for a cocktail of banned substances. It was the highest-profile performance-enhancing doping case the country had seen. At a hearing, Dianti denied knowingly taking the substances and claimed he had sipped from a friend's water bottle at the gym. The South African Institute for Drug-Free Sport banned him for 4 years.